Amen. God is great. Look at all the chairs they put out.
I know.
Yahoo! Now, those are not for people. Those are for angels. So don't be sitting on an angel or something. All right. Let's turn to... where do you want to turn? Where did you want to turn? Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5. This is a great chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 1, then I'm going to drop down to 13. Then stand firm in the freedom. Stand firm in the freedom. Don't wiggle. Don't move. Don't go back. Once you're free, stay free. Stand firm, fast, immovable in the freedom wherewith Christ hath set you free. No, you didn't do it. You didn't get this freedom. You didn't buy it. You didn't purchase it. You didn't work for it. It was a freedom He gave you. Now, what are you free from and what are you free for? That's something else. But let's start with just the idea that you're free. Amen. Stand fast then in that freedom. So everybody say, I'm going to stand fast.
I'm standing fast.
In that freedom.
In that freedom.
Wherewith Christ hath set me free. And, negatively then, do not submit again.
To the yoke.
What?
Bondage.
In other words, once you're free, stay free. It was hard in the time of the Civil War when we fought and the slaves were all freed. They're still not free to this day. Because they didn't know what freedom consisted in. They just thought, hey, get free of the master, we'll be okay. Well, it hadn't worked out that way. Once you get free, in the Bible, when you free someone, you not only set them free, you give them a certificate that said, I no longer own you, you are now a free man on your own. That certificate. Then you also pay them for the journey. However long the journey is, you make sure that they can start a new livelihood. Now those slaves that stayed on the plantation and said, you know, we like our master, we're going to just stay right here, why go out there and risk it? It's not a bad master. He takes care of us, taking very good care of us. The master then would give them a certificate. You are free, and even though you're still here, I no longer call you a slave. You now are not only a free man, you are so free that I'm going to give you part of my land, which you can develop, and you also could marry my daughter. In other words, you're free. Y'all see that? That's powerful. And most slaves were just eager to get out. And they haven't ended up well. They normally went to the cities and didn't do so well. And so that's where they are today. And they're still there. I'm not putting them down or anything because some of them didn't do that. But the majority of them never understood what liberty was, what freedom is. To be free means economic, not just physical. So what did God set you free for? To worship God, to serve your neighbor. To worship God, serve your neighbor. Worship God, serve your neighbor. That's the summary of the Ten Commandments. You know, give God all the worship that He deserves. That's why you're set free. And so to this day, even though there is freedom, I notice that when they get spiritually free, they don't go all the way, and therefore they don't get economically, politically, and socially free. They're still ghettoed. They're still plantationed. And their black leaders keep them there. Their leaders keep them there in bondage so they can keep using them as victims. And they never took advantage of the freedom. So when you're set free, you're on your own. And you better have a God. When you're free, you can... how many know you can mess up when you're free? When you have free time, you know, at ease, you know, everything's okay. Go do what you want. A lot of people just go and get drunk. A lot of people just go and booze it up. A lot of people just waste their lives instead of using their freedom for the purpose for which it was given. Right. So you have to know, don't submit again to the bondage. To the bondage. But once you're set free, stay free. All right, so let's read about this, because this is what my ministry is all about, is setting people free, but not just free so you can sin.
Amen.
Why? If you're free, you're free to sin. I'm free to sin. You set me free. So I can go and, you know, goof up. I can go and mess up. I can ruin other people's lives. And so, no, that's not the purpose of freedom. Freedom is always to do what is good, what is right, what is true, and what is lovely. Yeah. So, in other words, freedom is always positive. Freedom is never, I set you free so you could ruin yourself. Freedom is always so you can be happy. Pursue happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So what is that? Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. It's not exactly what I thought was happy, was trusting in the Lord. But you know what? Try to do it without him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you're back in bondage. So many people are set free to be licentious. That's not what the word freedom doesn't cover. Licentious. The moment you become licentious, you are not free. In other words, I'm free. I'm walking along. I jump into the Grand Canyon. And after that, I'm not free. But I was free to jump. But I'm not free to jump back out. It's a long way down. And by the time you hit the bottom, you realize, yeah, I might have made a mistake on that. I might have misused my liberty. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So many people get free. They get a, you know, they just want to be free. If I could just be free from my parents, if I could just be free from my husband or my wife or my kids or, you know, the neighbors or whatever, or if I could just get out of prison, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to be right back in because the freedom is it's inside. Amen. You have to be free in your heart to know what you were created for. And by the way, you get to choose. God's already chosen and said, I created you to worship me and serve your neighbor. And many people say, oh, I don't want that. Okay, that is cool that you don't want that. But you know what? It ain't going to work out. It's not going to work out. When you're free to live your own life, you often mess up because you're not mature. And I mean, it's better to be rich second than first. Because once you get riches and you're immature, you'll misspend them. You'll spend them on nonsense. If I had given my children, you know, $1 million when they were four, they would buy dolls and, you know, whatever. I mean, they didn't know. I mean, Margaret, who's not here right now, but Margaret, you know, when I'd take her into Mott's, I'd say, anything you want on this rack right here. And they were all paper dolls. Her eyes were big. Anyone, just pick any one of them. And Dad's going to buy that for Christmas. She was totally, I mean, she was in hog heaven. Because as a, you know, a young little girl like that, she had boxes of those things and she wanted more. You know, so just pick any one that you want. 18th century, you want this, you know, Civil War, you know, whatever. And so she would pick and she was in hog heaven. I got nude paper dolls. Well, that was only a few dollars. Probably under five or something. And there it was. She was completely happy. A new dress wouldn't have done it, you know, whatever. She got what she wanted. But when she became 17 and 18, she wanted things like car. Well, that was more expensive. You know? So I didn't say whatever you want. Why? Because she wasn't mature enough. And so when she got a car, I said, you will bang this car up, so I'm not going to give you a nice new car. No, Dad. I've learned from the other kids. I will not get in an accident. And after her third accident, then she realized, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. And so, anyway, so we had, you know, fortunately, I was a good giver, which meant I didn't give her what would destroy her. Do you hear what I'm saying? So giving a child 100 toys at Christmas may be fun for a few minutes, but they'll step on them and break them and so on. It doesn't really teach them values. So you have to be careful when you give somebody freedom that you don't spoil and destroy them by their own immaturity. So it's better to get the character first than the money. Or the independence or whatever else. Because young people have no clue. Let's say you're 18. It's exciting for an 18-year-old, if you're a Muslim, maybe to get on a bus and blow people up because your family then gets $25,000 or something. And then you get, you know, Valhalla. You know, a river of beer and 70 virgins. But that it has a promise that may not happen. But when you're 18, hey, beer and girls sounds good. I will take it. I mean, no, that's good, but you're immature. Therefore, your liberty is foolish. You don't give liberty to somebody who isn't able to handle it. Did you hear what I said? So Jesus has set us free from what? From the law. From the law. Why? Because instead of you trying to please God, it would be better if you let God, who's already pleased with you, take care of you. So you have to go through the steps we've been talking about. Get born again, then get filled with the Spirit, then be led of the Spirit, and so on. You have to go from Savior to Lord to so on. It's good to be disciplined. And most people don't realize the reason we're in trouble today is because we weren't disciplined. We're no longer a disciplined people. When I went to school, nobody had to tell me what to study or do. I'm a self-starter. And so I took Yale for all it was worth. In other words, I did twice as much as everybody else. But I wanted to. So I took two, you know, double. You took five courses, I took 10. Because I was getting 2 degrees at a time. And my idea was just get a whole bunch of them so no one else can catch up. But the point is, I was immature in that because I didn't have really a goal. It's just to be smarter than everybody else or greater or awesome or something. So I didn't know. And so I was having a ball. It was fun for me. Education was easy for me. So I loved doing it. But then I met Jesus and he ruined everything. He ruined everything because apparently I was just a juvenile. I was completely immature. And I remember his first words out of his mouth. This was spoken out loud through a window, which I didn't believe in God or out loud voices from God. But anyway, I heard these words out loud. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. That kind of, you know, when you're at Yale and you're one of the top persons, and you know, you're going to the top. I mean, you know you're going to amount to a hill of beans at least. And so I'm on my way up, and there's no one going to stop me. And so, when that word came, it kind of cut me right off at the knees. Just suddenly, you know, a lot like vanity of vanities. What do you mean? Of course, intellectually, I agree. I'm vain. I mean, how many know that you can agree with that intellectually? But emotionally, I don't know about that. I don't want to be vain. I would like to accomplish something. I'm going for a hill of beans because no one thought I could do it. Nobody in my family had ever gone to college or, you know, amounted to anything. And so, anyway, that's what happens. So don't get power before you get mature. Don't get too much power. Otherwise, you'll just waste it. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I had to learn how to love my wife. Because I loved myself. I did not love her. I didn't care about her. You know, just use her. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? She's right there. That's the one I'm talking about. And I was abusive. I was you know, dominant because I was totally selfish. I wanted everything for me. We grew up poverty stricken, so we had zero. And, just lived on the dirt. And so when you grow up that way, you want to get ahead and you want to do better. And so I want to get free, get out of this zoo. I thought of my family as a zoo. You know, it's like, whoa, these people are crazy. My mom worked all the time, so, you know, she was gone. So no one was watching me. And my third father, because the other two didn't stick around, he was kind of like a monster guy because he wanted me to behave. What a ridiculous idea. So I'll do it while he's around because he was 260 pounds and yeah. I wasn't. And so I'm still not. So I realized, he said, the day you can take me, you don't have to listen. So I thought, geez, I'm never going to make it. That guy's too big. So watch out, Judah. That's all I'm trying to say. You're a long way. So when you get free, you want to be free to find out what you should be free for. That's actually in your happiness interest, to be happy. Did you know that the only reason God doesn't want you to sin is because he wants you to be happy? I'm going to say that again. The only reason he doesn't want you to sin is sin doesn't lead to happy. When you sin selfishly, like I did, it doesn't lead to happiness. Then when God broke me, which he did, when he broke me, I found freedom. When you lose your life, you find it. When you lose your life, when you don't care just for yourself any longer, well, how could you come to that point? If you always cared for yourself as I did, if you always take care of yourself, which I did, and you had no morals and you had no religion and you had nothing to hinder you or stop you or manacle or shackle you, yeah, there are no barriers. I could do whatever I wanted. There's no one to stop me because I was a consummate liar, you know, lived a double life, triple life. They never found out what I did. And so what can you do? But one thing I noticed after a while, it didn't lead to happiness. It didn't lead to happiness. And so, well, the only reason God ever gave you a law is not so you'd keep it. He gave you the law to let you know he wants you to be happy. Keeping the law is actually happiness. But he just figured out after a while, God figured out after a while, how many know God figures stuff out after a while, that putting laws on people does not perfect them. Under the law, nothing's made perfect. In other words, law is just external. Just behave yourself. And so the most he could get out of people was hypocrisy. That's the most he could get. Guilt or pride. How many know those are two wicked things? Guilt or pride. Some people are depressed out of their skulls. Multitude of people. Other people are proud as all. They're as proud as they can be because they're not like other people. So that's why they're proud. Thank God I'm not like other people. Look at that loser over there. Thank God I'm not like that. And that was one of my deals. That was one of my deals. And so when Christ sets you free, you're free.
Amen.
Free to do what? You know, for me it was, you know, hey, I can do whatever I want. But, you know, I didn't do certain things, even though I had no code. I didn't have any code at all. Even though I didn't have any rules over me and nobody ever knew what I was doing, because I'm a liar and a consummate con artist and so on, I could get away with stuff that most people would get caught. But I never got caught. And I was very good. I thought it out carefully, you know, where to do it, when to do it, how to do it, and so on. I thought that thing out. But it didn't lead to happiness. And I learned later that by meeting Jesus, he actually was everything I was looking for, but I did not believe that.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
And most of your children, well, as you grow children up, they don't want to obey Jesus or, you know, all that when they get 14, 15, 16, 17, and so on. They want to be free from that. And so they're looking for a way out. But the truth is, it's Christ that sets you free.
Yes. Amen.
But he doesn't set you free to destroy you. He sets you free to bless you. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
So the freedom is, hey, I get now to discipline myself. Now I love my wife as Christ, exactly as Christ loved the church. I want everything for her. I never take care of myself. Why? Don't need to. She can tell you. I don't want anything or need anything. I'm fine. I've got everything. Why? How can I go from wanting everything to wanting nothing?
Gotcha.
I'm not saying I don't have anything. I'm just saying I don't need it. Why?
God supplies.
Because God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. So he said, seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. I'll just give it to you. It's like, wow, that's cool. How many know that if I were the one running the show, I would ruin it?
Yes.
I mean, I'd ruin it. And I deliberately did it. I want it. I did whatever I wanted, and I knew it was bad. I knew what I was doing was not legal or lawful or moral or clean or good or right. And I didn't really care. But I do now. And you know what? I'm happy. All the time. All the time. Now, Raul, are you happy all the time?
Amen.
Woo!
Yes.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Willis?
Yes, sir.
Are you happy all the time?
Amen.
Amen. It's good. Are you happy all the time? Woo-hoo! That's good. So, and I like burdens. I like problems, difficulties, impossible things that everyone else, they don't want to touch it or handle it. I like that. Give it to me. I like it. My husband's a pervert. Good. I'd like to meet him. See, I'm not all like, oh, I don't want to deal with him. I'm the opposite. Nobody can help her. I'll help. Just, you know. In other words, as a servant, that's what you're called to do, by the way. To be a servant in love. Why? We love because he first loved us. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
We're going to read that. We're going to read that right now. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to 13. Let's go to 13. This is so awesome. Say, I'm going to learn something. All right. Here's what you're going to learn. For brothers, you were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom for gain or advantage or profit to the flesh. Don't use your freedom. Even though you're free. Even though you're free. You can do what you want. You can choose. You can go where you want to go, you know, see what you want to see, do what you want to do. Okay, great. But don't use your freedom as a license for the flesh. Don't try to please your flesh. How many know that most businessmen, when they make a lot of money, what they want to do is just do licentious things. Those are called perks. And they want to have, you know, mistresses and booze it up and, you know, do all kinds of stupid stuff and so on. And they're just like playing games that they didn't play when they were kids, I guess. And they're still having their toys. Well, that doesn't work. And Dallas is loaded with people like that. I got a lot of customers out there. You know, I love it. I love it. I love it when people have gained so much and then they lost their health, they lost their families, they've lost everything worthwhile. And I know I've affected at least 200 or 300 families in Dallas that today wouldn't be married and their kids wouldn't have those two parents. And not only that, but they didn't lose their health and their wealth in the meanwhile. You didn't have to trade off. But most people, when you go for one thing and you have a passion for it, you lose everything else. Wouldn't it be good if you could keep everything? You could have everything. Heaven on earth.
Amen?
Amen? But you have to get it in order. If you go after the money first, or you go after the, you know, workout thing first, or whatever people do, you're going to lose something else. So you have to put everything in order. So seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. In other words, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else is yours. So it's easy once you're mature, which is what? You know what maturity is? Maturity is not maturity. You know what maturity is? To be mature means to realize you're not God and he is. That's all maturity is I ain't God. I mean, to realize you're not God. And so when you make a decision, God-like, it's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, your best ideas don't work.
Yeah.
What God wants you to realize is, hey, let me decide. I'm not going to force you, but just let me decide to do with your freedom. I think the way you're going to go is not going to work. So do it my way. I want you to worship me. Not because I need the worship, because you do. You do. Because I made you. I think I know when I made you, I think I know how you're supposed to be working. In other words, I'm totally for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? So if he made you, he knows why he made this, you know, screwdriver, not to be a crowbar. You know, it's like, just and then you break it. So you have to find out, what's this made for? Well, you were made to worship God and love your neighbor. How many know that there's hardly a person on earth that wants to do that? I mean, unless you were a pastor or something, I don't think most people want to do that. Hey, just well, the whole thing turns me on is worship God and loving my neighbor. I don't think so. So that's definitely not big in Dallas. That's not big in Dallas at all. And so I think they have as many bars as churches here. More, yeah, more. And so it's great. I love it. This is a great city. Did you know that? I love this city. I mean, in Fort Worth, we just kind of shoot for the moon. But here, shoot for the star. You know, just get way, way up there. You know, go way out. And, of course, you don't make it. But still, the idea. And then the few that do, they want to be conspicuously obvious. I made it. In Fort Worth, they don't. Those that really make it in Fort Worth build 12-foot walls around their place with fencing all over it and so on. So nobody can see in, get in, know, you know, anything that's going on. That's the way they do it there, hide everything, you know, and they don't want anyone to know. So it's only run by a few families. But Dallas, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families are well off. I mean well off. But not in Fort Worth. It's just a handful. But the wealth is equal. It's concentrated into a few families there. But over here, they're all over the place. Dallas has city after city inside of Dallas. You know, you got north and blah, 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 so on. But Fort Worth is different. All right. So, brothers, you were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom to gain the flesh. In other words, to advantage your flesh, to take care of your flesh. Why? Because flesh is foolish. Flesh is foolish. Do you know if you follow your flesh, you're going to get in trouble? If you're just pleasing your passions and your appetites, you know what? You're going to get in trouble. Pretty soon you're going to be addicted to something. Pretty soon something bad's going to happen. Amen? Because you're free to, you know, follow your appetites and your passions and your desires, or you're free to actually love God and serve your neighbor. So those are two freedoms, but I would say most people like the first and not the second. So it's my job is to make sure, Willis, that you follow the worship of God. That means spend unhurried time each day in God's presence, worshiping, thanking, praising, adoring Him, and then loving your neighbor. You know what? Servants actually get a reward in the future. And also in the present. I don't know if you know that. But Jesus said, you know, if you give up everything, if you surrender everything, in other words, do what I say. If you do that, I'll actually take care of you here too, also. First fruits.
Amen.
He cannot give you heaven without giving you earth also, heaven on earth. So, are you experiencing that?
Amen.
You see, because it may be predicated on something, built on something. And it is. It's built on this, right here. Only don't use your freedom for flesh, but serve one another. Now, that word for serve is doulos. Doulos is not like diakone, deacon. A doulos is actually a slave. Serve your brother. In other words, give up your own agenda because God will take care of you. Give up your own agenda because God will take care of you. Give up your own agenda because God has already taken care of you. And he does it on a daily basis. He did it 2,000 years ago and he's still doing it. He will never let you fall down. I mean, no, if you enter his program, you're going to be blessed.
Amen.
I mean, you're not entering his program to get blessed. It's just a byproduct of doing what he said. And then you get all that for nothing, for free. All right. And the other, by the way, doesn't work. The world is falling apart today. You know why it's falling apart? Because there aren't any men left. There are no men left. The men are no longer leaders. They're no longer strong. They're no longer courageous. They're no longer worshipers of God and lovers of their neighbor. And so into that greed factor, even, you know, our highest officers in this country now are just greedy and liars and so on and so forth, because that's the way it is. And I'm not going to do that. Am I able to? Yeah, I could do it too, but I don't want to. So I don't want to. Why? God takes care of all my needs. So I'm having a ball. I'm free. Those guys on top, they are not free. They have to go on vacation where the rest of their tribe goes. I don't. I can go anywhere I want. Anytime, any place, anywhere. I like it. So I'm free. I love being free. When you're free under God, he kind of, you know, helps you to go somewhere and don't go there and so on and so forth. He restricts and restrains. How many know you need the restraint of God? Otherwise, you're too strong for yourself. I'm just going to say it again. You are too strong for yourself. And your, you know, desires and lusts and passions, you're going to mess up big time. And it doesn't bother me because I get more customers that way. I mean, really, I could have a huge church if I just ministered to all those kind of people. But I've decided to wait after you're mature, I'm going to go and do that. Yeah. Well, I may never get there. So I'm waiting. Could I be set free now so I can help others, you know? But I want to make sure my own family that God has given me is perfected. I mean, that could take a week. That could take 2 or 3 weeks to get, just Alex, for, you know, I don't even think you're going to make it. Can you ever make maturity?
I'll make it.
That's good. Did you know what? There's no effort to it. You just surrender to Jesus.
That's right.
You just surrender to Jesus. Jesus, I don't know anything, but you do. I'm your child. Don't forget, I was made in your image. I look like you. You look like me. Did you know you look like God? I mean, God does not look like a turtle. He doesn't. When you get up there, go, oh, he's a big turtle. No, he's not a turtle. He's not a butterfly. He's not a rock. He's not a tree. He's not a bush. He's not a cloud. So God is like nothing else in this whole creation. So you were created Betzalemnu, in our image. In our image. And then Kedemutnu, according to our likeness. So you were made in the image of God according to his likeness. In other words, you not only look like God, you were made to act like God. Isn't that interesting? So why does God want you to serve? Because he's your servant. Did you know God is your master, but he's a master that serves. He's the one that first loves you. He's the one that forgives you. He's the one that helps you. He's the one that, you know, does everything for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Or who can stop God from loving me? If God loves me, who can prevent that? Can Al-Qaeda? Can the mafia? Can, you know, some other minister stop me? No, nobody can stop me. Why? If God loves me, he's going to take care of me. Why? Because he's muscular. That guy can do anything. He's smart. And he's good. If anybody that likes me is good, I'll just tell you right there. Anybody that likes me, I like that person. That's a good person. I mean, they don't know anything, but that's okay. Because as long as they like me, I don't care how stupid they are to like me. Amen?
Amen.
When you find someone that likes you, go for it. You know, cultivate that thing. It's like, this person likes me. They know nothing of my real self. Wow. No, you know what? My real self is Jesus. That's my real self. I love Jesus. Why? He's the best guy. He's the first guy that ever liked me, really, really, really liked me. As I am. Not fixed up, not nice. He liked me, Karen, just like himself.
Amen.
He loves me just like he loves himself. I love that. So God wants to share everything. Did you know God wants everybody here to get a reward?
Yeah.
An inheritance. Yeah. All of heaven. I mean, everything that God has, yours. Everything God has, yours.
God.
Your family. Amen. You may only be 2 years or 16 years or whatever, but it's all yours. At any time you're ready for it, it's all yours. That's why he's taking us to heaven when we're mature. How many know if that was up to us, we might not make it? When we're mature is a gift. I told you what maturity is. Maturity is just learning, hey, people down here are not God. I'm not God. God is God. That's it. Right there. That is maturity. You figured out what life was all about. God. God is not only the creator, but he's the giver of all good and perfect gifts. So, let's read about these good and perfect gifts. Serve one another as slaves of love. Agape is love, unconditional love. So, serve everybody with unconditional love. And I'm starting with Peggy. I don't expect anything from me on that account, because Peggy's eaten up all my unconditional love.
Yeah.
She's just swallowing it, you know. I don't know if I can even breathe now because Peggy just sucking all the juice out of me. Jim, spend more time with me, more time with me. Peg, when are you ever going to be pleased forever? You know, it seems, Raul, that you just can't please a woman all the time. Am I right? You shouldn't have said that. You should not have said that. You should have said, no, my wife's completely happy. Now she'll get you for sure. She's going to tie you down, rope you down, and so on and so forth. So, I don't know, God is for you. Nothing's going to happen to you. If God is for you, nothing's going to happen to you.
Amen.
If God is on your side, man, you got the smartest, bestest, goodest, you know, you got everything.
Amen.
That guy's powerful. That guy is powerful. He always gets his way. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. What is it? What's that one word? It's in your Bible there. What's that one word?
Love.
Love. So when I love, when I serve others in love, I'm actually not serving my love, but God's love to me, through me, to you. I'm the mediator. I'm the guy in the middle. God's loving me. He's giving me, you know, 10 billion pounds of it, and then I'm giving you a little ounce here and a little ounce there and so on. But you know what? You can't love if you don't get love first. You can't give what you don't got. Once you got it, then you can give it out. And did you know the more you give, the more he'll give? So whatever he's given you, he's got more. And he never runs out of love. Because he is love. God is love. He didn't have bone one mean. There's no meanness in God. There's no shadow. There's no darkness in God. He loves sinners. And people that are no good, he loves them. That's amazing. Do you love people that are no good? If you can love yourself, you could. If you could love yourself, you could. Because if you could love yourself, you can just love yourself as you are, not as you ought to be, but as you are, really. You could love anybody. And the minute you learn to love yourself, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because you're a hard one to love. Say it. I'm a hard one to love. But that's okay. God never quits. He never stops. Amen. He never changes. You have no idea how much mercy God's got. You know, that was Israel's whole hope. Israel never behaved. I'm just going to tell you right now, she never behaved. She never behaved. They never did with all the heart and all the soul and all the strength. They never did that. Never, 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 never. And everybody got into the New Testament through faith. That's why you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It's all about Old Testament people that had faith. They didn't keep the law. They had faith in Jesus. They had faith in the Messiah. Even Moses, the lawgiver, he is in the Hall of Fame. Amen. Fall of faith. He had faith. Because he didn't trust himself. He didn't think, I can do it. Did he know that Moses broke the law? He gave a law and then he broke it himself. That's like having a president who breaks his own laws. I mean, that's weird, isn't it? But that's the way it is. Now, but there's one person in the whole universe that doesn't lie, God. Let God be true, every man a liar. He's okay with liars. He loves liars. That's all he's got, but that's why he loves liars. Amen? How many of you are gifted at lying?
Yes.
Being a phony, a fake, you know, not really what you are, pretending you are something you aren't, and so on. That is one of the gifts that you receive from the Holy Spirit. No, that is not a gift. That is not a gift, being a liar and phony and fake. A gift is something you don't deserve, and he just gives it because he loves you. Amen?
Amen.
So God wants you to have the best.
Amen.
Say it. I get the best. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Or, I'm going to put it differently, as God hath loved you. Passive. Love your neighbor the same way God loved you. Love your neighbor. People that don't deserve it. People that are not nice. People that absolutely, they should get a punishment. Give them love. Return good for evil. Amen? I mean, this is fun. It's fun having this idea of life, is when someone's evil, that's when I can bless them and love them. I'm looking all the time for people that are evil so I can bless them. Amen? They're hard to find, but there are a few. Even in church here, we have a few. There's a few evil people right here. Could I have a show of hands? No. But it's okay, because I don't care. I don't care if people look good or look bad or whatever they look. No respect for persons. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you say, what you do, what you don't do. It doesn't make any difference. Male, female, young, old, fat, dumb, skinny. You know, it doesn't make any difference. Nothing. Nothing matters. If they're a person, they're made in the image and likeness of God. Frogs are not. Frogs are not. You ever seen a frog? God does not look like a frog. The Chinese, one of the oldest Chinese, they had an understanding that the world was made out of an egg. I don't know if you're Chinese, that's not funny, but it was funny to me. The world's not an egg. But that's what they thought. And then the sky became one part of the egg, and the earth became the other part, and all this kind of stuff. And so they're making up all that stuff. How many know that sounds a little fishy? Or chickeny, or something. That doesn't sound right. So you're not just an egg. Now, maybe what they had in mind was Adam and Eve were born out of an egg or something. I don't know. I don't know where they got that idea. But wherever they got it, it's not true. Adam and Eve were not created as babies, laying them down on the ground, you know, taking care of yourselves and so on. Nope. They came out full, you know, mature. And then they fell from that. And thereafter, we all had to be born little like that. Did y'all see that? So that's how it all came. We all started out of that. It's none of the monkey business that they teach now about evolution and all that nonsense. All right. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, say it, I will not bite my neighbor. It's good. I mean, it's good. Because if you read the history of mankind, it's a lot of biting and devouring. I mean, people are biting and devouring all over the place. And not only that, you not just do the enemy over there, you'll do your own family. I mean, kings killed off their brothers and sisters and mothers and whatever because they didn't want any rivals. Jesus, when he was born, Herod, right away, you know, kill that little kid. And kill every kid in the whole place, as a matter of fact, under 2 years old. This world is cruel and nasty that way because people are people. Amen? Thank God we're not like Herod. I mean, no, we're not like Herod. Yes, you are. Just get in close to you and you'll find out there's a lot of Herod in all of us. Did you know you can hate people that are in your own family? I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying 99.999 that you can hate people because, you know, the firstborn always wants to be, you know, the great and so on. And the secondborn always jealous of that firstborn and wants to pull him down. And the thirdborn spoiled as a, you know, and so on and so forth. And so you have all these problems in families. And those problems don't go away. They always resent it. And you don't hear about it until their deathbed almost. Then they tell you, I always hated Al or whatever. Susie always got the best from the parents. They liked her. They didn't like me, you know, whatever. And so families can be a turmoil place. Can be a turmoil. Amen? I like it. My family was so screwed up, so messed up that it wasn't even a temptation to think about they let me down. It's like, absolutely. I love it. I love it. Nothing. I love it. All right. Watch out if you bite and devour, that you be not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit. Woohoo! Hallelujah. All right. So here's somebody here now. Stand up and say, I will walk in the Spirit.
I will walk in the Spirit.
Amen. Let's praise God. Woohoo! Amen. It's good. The rest of you are going to walk in the flesh. So say, I will stay seated in the flesh. It's just a joke, but I love it. Okay, I'm just trying to teach you something here. Walk in the Spirit. I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wow. That's what it means. To walk in the Spirit is don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because that you're born that way. You are born to fulfill the lust of your flesh. When that baby comes out, you know, that baby wants everything. They don't want to give anything. They want to take everything. Amen? You ever notice that about babies? They're not, hey, Mom, I'll take care of the diaper. Don't worry about it. I've already cleaned up. I've already cleaned it up. You know, they're just totally selfish. Those babies want everything and when they want it. Hey, it's 3 a.m, baby. Go back to sleep. You know, they don't want to. They're just thinking of themselves. They're never thinking of their parents. I am so glad that I'm not a woman because I cannot imagine how women, they get up every 2 hours or something like that. It's like amazing to me. I want to get 8. I mean, I want to get a lot of sleep. I just do not want to do it. So every once in a while, Peg would say, well, you get up. So that's your job. I'm not made that way. So here's how I did it. The baby's crying like mad in there and some, this baby's crying, Peg. You take care of it. Okay. So I would run up the hall like this and the baby would stop crying like that. And then, and if it started crying again, I'd run back the other way like this. As I said, you see, we solved it. Because I'm not patient like Piggy that could sit there and let that baby cry and all. I said, help it out. You know, just. So I found out that fear is greater than whatever they're crying about. They were terrified. But it did calm them down. Because they'll cry for hours. I mean, I don't know how they do it, but they can just keep crying and keep crying and keep crying. Did you see that with your sister? Yeah. And they just can keep going. And it's like, Peg, get up. That baby's crying. You get up. I've been getting up for months. You get up. All right, there we go. And instead of diaper change, put them in the tub, hose them down, you know, just pick them back up, you know. Because guys are not good moms.
Right?
Guys do not make good moms, but I'm very creative. It's like, I want to get my sleep. Putting this baby to bed, put a little table over its mouth. And all right. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So they're at enmity. So inside of you is a battle. There's a battle inside of you to walk in the spirit or in the flesh. There's a battle. How many know you want your way and you also want to be, you know, nice? Well, it's not going to work out because one is going to win. I mean, you can't do two things at once. I can't both love you and hate you at the same time. Do y'all see that? I can't serve you and take advantage of you at the same time. It's just one or the other. So God has made us to be servants one of another, to be lovers. So walk in love. Walk in love. Be led of the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Go where the Spirit says. How do you know then you couldn't have any control of your life? You can't say, God, I want to control my life and I want you to be my God. That's Christians. What a hypocrite that Christian is. I want you to run my life and direct me and tell me what to do. And then I also want to do what I want. So let's both work out a kind of like a deal. It won't work. I mean, you can't do his will and yours at the same time. Because he has opposite views of yours. Yours are follow my desires and my passions and my, you know, my lust and so on. And his are, you know, serve me, love your neighbor. They're opposite. I mean, no, it says right here, he did that deliberately to slow you down. It can really bog you down. So, did anybody find out you're a contradiction? You got two things going at once, double-minded. You're double-minded. Well, I want to serve God, but I also want for myself. You know, and you kind of can say it soft, but the truth is you want for yourself. So whatever you want, that's what you're going to get. I mean, know that you're willful. So you can't do two things at once. You'll go crazy. Do you know most Christians are crazy? I don't mean here. I'm talking about Methodists. But most Christians are crazy because they're trying to do two things at once, serve themselves and serve God too. You can't do it. You just can't. So if you want to serve somebody else, and I do, I really want to serve Peggy. But it is, I tell you, serving is not as easy as it sounds. I mean, it really, you have to die to do it. You have to be dead. And the thing that kills you is that God loves you as a sinner and wants you to have everything. That's what breaks you. What breaks you is not the condemnation of the law. What breaks you is the unconditional love of God. What blows me away is that God could love me when I'm not lovable. And do you know every little kid is trying to figure that out because they know what you want. And when they get to be 1 and a half or 2, they also want their own thing. And they, for the rest of their lives, they're wanting that stuff. And you can't make them Christian by, you know, just smashing them down with Christianity. Because it'll break out as soon as they go off to college. Hello? And you'll find they're doing what? You're doing what? You need more money for what? And so on. So once the kids get on their own, they love freedom. But they're going to do it for license. They're going to join the crowd, join the group, you know, do what everyone else is doing. And they're lonely or whatever they are, you know. Kids just like to be where the action is. What'd you do that for? Well, everyone did it. Oh, that's a good reason. Everyone's down, you know, down at the end of the hall watching TV or whatever. And so you have to make your own decisions. You have to be your own boss. I mean, you have to do what God says.
Amen.
And that's not easy. It's impossible for flesh. All right. And these are contrary to one another. This is verse 17 or something. Contrary to one another, lest whatever you may will, these things you do. In other words, they're opposite, so that you have to make a decision. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Wow. That's interesting. It's so obvious, but if you're led by the Spirit, and I am, you're not led by the law, and I'm not. I'm not following a law. I'm not under a law. No one makes me do what I do. I don't have to do it. And no one makes me do what I do. I want to do it. I want to do it, no matter what. Why? I don't know. That's what I want to do. Why? Because God did everything for me. Because he did everything for me, I don't need anything. Because he's always with me and never leave me or forsake me and so on and so forth, I'm rich beyond measure. I have all wisdom. I have all knowledge. I have all love. I have whatever he gave me, I got it. So I take him literally, and therefore I don't need to see it. I don't even need to see that he's supplied all my needs. I just believe it.
Amen.
Is anybody else like me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's powerful. Do you believe that?
I love being taken care of by God.
I know it. He's too awesome. He just doesn't see any flaws in us, even though we got them. He doesn't see them. Did you know parents don't always see the flaws in their kids? Well, that's my son. You know, it's my daughter. I mean, you go to bat for your kids because they're yours. They may be scoundrels, but I'm not going to let someone else say so. You know, those are my scoundrels. You know, those are mine. They belong to me. Now, the works of the flesh are clearly revealed. You're not going to understand half of these words, but I'm going to read them anyway. The works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, you know that one, fornication, you're not sure what the difference is, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, fightings, jealousies, angers, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, wild parties, and things like these. It's like, apparently the list is longer. Sounds like two or three of those would kind of do you in, but, you know. So that sounds like, to me, it sounds like a college kid. That definitely sounds like a high school or a college group right there. So all those things are what people do when they have nothing better to do. You know, I do my best sinning when I'm not busy. When I'm idle, I seem to want to do something wrong. All right. Here we go. I've told you beforehand, as I also said, that the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you do your lusts and your, you know, passions and so on and so forth, if you follow those kind of natural desires, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he said. I didn't say it. It's not my idea. It's God. I'm just repeating what he said. But I happen to believe that. I believe that if I practiced all those things, that I don't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's not because I am so wonderful and noble and want to do all God's work. It's because I actually don't believe I can do anything. I don't believe it. I believe God did everything, and whatever he did it for me. And because I have a relationship with that kind of a giving, loving, always for me God, I'm not worried about myself. I'm not worried about heaven. I'm not worried about earth. I'm not worried. Why? I just think everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a, my oh my, what a wonderful day. Is everybody else like me?
Yep.
Is anybody like me?
Yep.
Is anybody here like me?
Yes.
Everything's going my way. Do I deserve it? No. I don't care whether I deserve it. I'm in his family. He likes me. He birthed me. He birthed me. I look like him. So, poor God, did I create you? Yeah, you didn't create me. And so, he's totally happy with me. And I'm happy with him being happy with me.
Amen.
I'm not under a law. Did you know if there's no law, you can't sin? Because sin is missing the mark. Whatever the law says to do, you got to do. And what it says not to do, you can't do. And so on. But I don't have a law. So there's no law. Woo!
Hallelujah.
That's why I'm happy all the time. I'm not under a law. Now, Judah is, but I'm not. Judah, you're under the law of your mom and dad, and you better obey that law until you become an adult. But once you're an adult, you're free. Christ has set us free. Why? Because we're ready. Do you know that Christ didn't come into the world for 4,000 years? So 30 years, because he died at 30, 33. He died at 33. there was just law. But he did away with it. When he died on the cross, that was it. I did it all for Jim. I did it all. I did it all for everybody. I love it. Wow. Now, it took me a number of years to think about that. It's like, I don't know. I don't think I buy this idea. It's too good to be true. Besides, I like sinning. How many know that you can have a love of sin when you're a pagan? You can love it. I mean, it seems, even though they say it's wrong, for me, I really like it. I like doing my own thing when I want, how I want, you know, what I want. I just love that. And Peggy would tell me, so it wasn't like Peggy didn't tell me. She didn't have to even say the words because her face showed that she was completely miserable living with me. Peg, what's wrong? What did I do? Nothing. Huh. You mean I didn't do anything wrong? She didn't want to answer because she knew if she would say you did wrong, then she'd be criticizing, she'd go to hell. Do you see that? So she wouldn't say it. I said, Pig, you're not mad at me again this week, are you? Weren't you mad at me last week? Mm-hmm. Hello? Do you see what an idiot I was? I mean, I love provoking. Yeah. I was a provoker, a provocateur. I love provoking. I loved it. Pig, is it me again? It's like, it's not a surprise to me because I deliberately do what I do. There was no accident like, oh, I didn't know I was doing that. I had no morals. I had no code. Nothing. So I just couldn't imagine. Why are you miserable? Why don't you just be happy? You're married to me. What could be better? That was the source of the problem right there. She was married to me. And I was uncontrollable. She could never tie me down. Sometimes I'd stay up all night and go down to the single dorms and, where were you? Guys, it just was guys. Well, why didn't you think of calling? I don't know, it didn't occur to me. I was having a good time. How many can see this is not a good husband? I was rotten to the core, and I loved it. And I never did think about it. I didn't even think about it. Well, take care of yourself. Did you marry me because you thought I'd take care of you? That's a big mistake right there. Hello? I'm saying all this so that anybody here has ever criticized your husband or whatever, I was worse. I was worse. So don't criticize your husband. Vicki, don't be criticizing Sam. I'm worse than he is. I know it's hard to believe, but I am worse. Now, but I'm not now. I'm a great husband. Right, Peg? It wasn't loud. She didn't say it loudly, but it was, yeah. Yeah, good. Why? Jesus did it. He killed me. He just killed me. I mean, that's the best way to do it. Me behaving would never have done it. I don't like hypocrisy. So I never did it. Do you love me? No. I mean, there's not even a breath between the lip and the cup. No. Next. You don't love me? No. And I don't fall for crying and all that kind of manipulation stuff. Hello? You mean you don't love me? Why'd you marry me? That's a great question. I have no idea, just to use you, I guess. Cook and sew and do all that kind of stuff. You know, so I can go to school and get more degrees. What a blessing. Can you imagine a better marriage than that? Where the husband gets all the blessing and the wife gets all the burden? Because I knew, before I married her, I knew this woman is abuse-proof. She has been through so much that she'll put up with almost anything. That's the woman I'm marrying. Y'all don't, you're not laughing. I was horrible to the core. But I didn't care. I had no morals, no religion, no God. Even though I was at seminary, I didn't believe in God. Never did. But You see what God can do with a scoundrel?
Yeah.
Hello? Now, you know, the interesting thing is, because you're all weighing what I said, the interesting thing is, the Bible has a term for me, sinner. You know, hopeless. You know, awful, terrible. You know, there are people in the Bible that are sinners. And I've found, even in church, there's a few sinners. Even after people become Christians, they don't go all the way with Jesus. That was one thing I noticed when God was making these offers here. I'm not going to take your offer. Why not? I think everything you're looking for is me. Nah, I've seen your people. They don't look happy. I'm as evil as you can be, but I'm at least, you know, happy-go-lucky. I mean, I was never down. I'm always, yoo-hoo, glory. I was always up because I wasn't worried about laws. I had no laws over me. I mean, if you have no laws over you, you are called lawless. Satan is called the lawless one. So if I had a job, I would have picked Antichrist. Maybe the sinner said, what is it you want to be? Antichrist. I didn't know the word, but I meant emperor. I just want to be the emperor. I just want to control everything. I think I can redo the world better than what it is. So I'm going to make it in my image, in my likeness. I mean, no, that's called being God. Did you know that Satan someday is going to sit through his guy on a throne saying, I am God. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that's in everybody? Do you know that everybody wants to be God?
Yeah,
you do. Everybody does. Everybody wants everything to go their way. They're selfish. Their lusts and their desires and their thoughts, they think they're important. You know? And so I just squashed all those things down. Said, I don't care about your ideas. I got my ideas. I want to be king of the mountain. I want to be the top guy. Did anybody ever play that game when you were a little kid? Used to do it with BB guns, shoot at the guys that were at the top. And they have to dodge all your BBs, you know, coming at you. That was great. All right. Watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Nine fruits. How many have those memorized? Well, you're not going to go to heaven unless you do. You got them? Okay, go ahead.
Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Perfect. You're going to heaven. So, there's two of us, because I got those memorized. Do you have them memorized? Try to memorize them today. That's what this sermon is all about. Those nine fruits. You know why? When you follow those fruits, you didn't do them.
Amen.
None of those are doable by a human being that walks in the flesh. They're only done by human beings that are not under the law, but they're under the grace, the gospel, the good news of God, and He produces that. That's what Jesus, if it's perfect, Jesus did it. So Christ in you is the hope of glory. The reason you can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, the reason you can have that is because Jesus is in you doing it. You're not doing it. He's doing it. For you, then in you, then through you, to others. So when God gives you these fruits of the Spirit, you know heaven has just come to earth. You didn't go to heaven. Heaven came to you. That's amazing. Did you know you're capable of love? God's unconditional love. Why? Because God is in you. You're His temple. And you're the light. You're the salt of this earth. You're the light of this world. That's amazing. Do you know that's what God's looking for? And those are the only ones that are going to inherit the kingdom of God. The only ones that are going to inherit are those that have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on. Because that's the kingdom of God on earth, and that's the church. And I don't think churches have all that. I don't think their pastors are telling them to have all those nine fruits. How many have you got, Alex? Would you say? How many?
Yeah.
You got them all? I'm going to see if lying is part of that one. Right there.
I thought you said memorized.
Oh, you got it memorized?
I think so.
All right, do it.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control, and meekness.
Powerful. you're going to heaven too.
Amen.
That's powerful. Did you know just memorizing those gets you in? In other words, there's nothing you need to do, because if God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
You don't have to do anything. This thing is, these things come out as a gift of God.
Amen.
Because Christ is in you. And when they come out, you don't say, I did it. You say, I didn't. But he who loves me did.
Amen.
He had love toward me. He had peace toward me. He had joy toward me. He did all that. And so then I'm just, you know that babies will actually copy their parents. You know, if a baby is brought up in a Spanish home, he'll speak Spanish. Do you speak Spanish?
Yeah.
What kind of home were you brought up in?
Spanish home.
You see? And they'll learn whatever language is.
Crazy?
Yeah, crazy. Crazy Spanish. I mean, it works though. So, whatever your parent language is, Chinese, that child will grow up to speak Chinese, because kids copy what their parents say and do, and how they look and how they act. They copy it. And little bitty kids are watching you for about a year and a, you know, so, walking. And they just think that is the coolest thing. You know, and so they get up and fall down. But after crying a little bit, they get up again, because they are determined, I'm going to walk. I see those other older brothers and sisters doing it and parents doing it. I'm going to do that one of these days. And when they do, a big smile gets on their face the minute they're like this. They are so excited, you know. I mean, they come alive. I conquered that thing. I knew I was going to get that. Pretty soon they're talking and they're doing everything just like their parents. Well, God came down on earth so you could be just like God. You look like him. You walk like him. You talk like him. You act like him. If he's merciful, you're merciful. If he's kind, you're kind. If he's loving, you're loving. So the one who is your parent is the one that determines how you're going to live. If Satan's your parent, is one way. That was my way. Now, if God is your parent, is another way. So, are you or are you not born again?
Amen.
Born of the Spirit.
Amen.
So, and are you not filled with the Spirit? All right, that one doesn't come automatically. And are you not led of the Spirit? Then you're going to have all those fruits. And of such is the kingdom of God, and against such, those nine things, there's no law. There's no law. There's no law. In other words, there's no law that says you can't love, or you can't be happy, or you can't be peaceful. So if somebody here says, Pastor, my life has been such a, you know, hell, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's a lie. No, no, no. There's no law against being loving. None. There's no law. Well, there isn't my case. No, there isn't. No, there's no law. You can have love today, right now. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. You can have all of that now. How? Because of what Jesus did. It's not a work of you. It's a work of him. In you, for you, through you. You now can walk in love. All right. Who got a hold of this?
Yes.
You got it, Karen?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So you then can be loving. Not with your conditional love, with his unconditional love that goes no matter what.
Christ through me.
It's powerful, Christ through you. It's exactly right. Sam, you could have joy, unspeakable joy. I mean, you can't even express it. It's so unspeakable. Why? Why? Because Jesus, he has joy toward you, and you're looking at his face. Beholding him, we are changed. You're looking at his face. The change is you're no longer walking in the flesh. You're walking after the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the temple of the living God. You're it. You're the temple. How do you prove it? No, not by talking. You do it by walking. Because that's when men see your good works. And they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They know, you're one of his. You know, people that are atheists, people that are agnostic or whatever they are, they actually can see when someone is godly. They're not. But they can see you are, and they think most Christians are hypocrites. Because they don't see it. They don't see the love, joy, peace, and so on. They don't see those nine gifts. But you know what? You're capable of doing them right now. First of all, you have the being. You're born from above. You're born from above. So that's the first thing. Second of all, you look like him. Third of all, you can act like him. Why? You just need his Holy Spirit. so you can walk after the Spirit. You can't walk after the Spirit unless you're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. So now you're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. That's Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. So he's coming back very soon to take his bride to himself when she's ready. As soon as she is mature, as soon as she's of age, as soon as she's happy all the time.
Amen.
That's the one he's coming back for. He's not going to come back for a lukewarm one. He's not going to come back for a harlot. He's not going to come back for someone that's not that happy about him, just using him. He wants to come back for somebody who's completely 100% following Jesus. Wow. What does it mean? You did it? Nope, you didn't do it. You just let him do it all.
Exactly.
You enter into his rest. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. You're not under a law. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. You're not under a law. I will give you rest, peace. I'll give you all that. It's a free gift. So, there's no law over you right now. God is not mad at you. He took all his mad out on Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, all the mad that he had was gone.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just said? Now, let's say somebody doesn't accept Jesus as their advocate and as their beloved and friend and so on. Well, okay, well, then they're not. They're still under it. But he got rid of it all, and anybody that then is tied to him won't ever have it. Because he'll speak for you on the Father, on your behalf to the Father. Father, this is the one I'm going to marry. Remember I told you about Karen? Remember I told you? You know, and so he's going to say that. No, Father, this is the one I was telling you about. It's horrible, was horrible, but now she loves me and trusts me. So she's going to be my bride. The Father says, that was the one I had picked. I picked her. I knew you'd pick her. How many know that God knows everything?
Amen.
He knows that you're all going to make it. You're going to make it. You know why? Because you're buying this story.
Yeah.
You're buying this story that God loves you unconditionally.
Amen.
You're buying this story that though you were wicked, not as bad as me, but perhaps getting close. I think some of you are close. But if you were as bad as me or close, he loves you.
Yeah.
He's not mad. He took all his mad out on Jesus. So therefore, since you're a friend of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, a lover of Jesus, you're going to walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, and faith. Isn't that interesting that faith is in there? It's number 7.
Yeah.
Faith is in there as number 7. Faith is pistis in the Greek. And it's just faith. That's what it says. But you interpreted it as faithfulness. Okay? That we would be full of faith, faithful toward others. In other words, not that we'd have faith in Jesus, not that, but that we would be faithful. That we would be faithful. It's good. Because all of those are passive. None of those are deeds you do. They're all deeds Jesus does for you, then in you, then through you. Now, if you're a Christian, you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he wants. And since you couldn't produce any of that, he just gave it to you. And he says, well, instead of the law, let's just get rid of the law. Then there's no sin. Then I can give you the Spirit, and he can produce all that stuff in you, because he'll take what's mine and give it to you. Take what's mine and declare it to you. And then you'll have it.
Amen.
Y'all see that this is good news?
Amen.
I want you to see this is good news. This is so incredible. Stop working. Stop doing. Stop being guilty. He not only took away the guilt of sin, he took away the power of sin. Why? Because I have his power. I have the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will give you power. He'll baptize you in the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, there's the power. So now I have the power to love Peggy and you. And you have the power to love me back. Anybody want to do that today? Show a little love to your pastor. Good pastor. Woohoo! She blew a kiss to me. That's very good. That's beautiful. That's perfect. And I deserve it. I love it. Look at the improvement I've made. They don't grade kids anymore on what they know. They grade them on how much they've improved. Well, I've improved. I was a complete rotten to the core scoundrel. And now I'm a wonderful, loving husband, faithful pastor, you know. I mean, I should get some rewards or something, you know, for how much improvement I've made. Not for how good I am, but how much improvement I've made. Oh, God is good. All right, who's blessed?
Amen.
Amen.
It's good. It's powerful.
Yeah.
Reading this, read it 100 times. Reading this will blow you away because you realize you're not under any condemnation. There isn't any.
Amen.
There's no condemnation. So you may hear the devil speaking it. He's a liar. He's a liar. It's not true. Nothing is up to you. Everything is up to God. There is nothing up to you. Everything has already been done. Already. It's not even going to be done. It's been done. You just haven't seen it all. But you got enough right now. You got enough to realize, it's all coming to me. If that's true, then the rest is true too. So, what has God done for you? Who would like to testify? God has blessed me so much, not only with the truth, but also with my life. I am a happier person now than I've ever been before.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
It's powerful.
Amen.
Truth sets free. Free from what? Free from the law in order to do what he wants, which is worship God. Thank you. And love your neighbor. Serving God with all those gifts he gave me. I'm not even doing it. All I'm doing is being a vessel that he uses to get his love out to other people and his joy out to other people and his mercy out to other people. I'm just simply a go-between. I'm totally just a channel. I'm not the source of any of that stuff, but I'm the channel for it. Hey, God, this guy needs it over here. All right, put your hose over there. You know, comes right down and there it gets over to that person. Hey, this one needs right here. There's a bad person right here. They need that help. How many know you have mercy for everybody?
Amen.
You have love for everybody. You can love the worst of people. Me.
Amen.
You can. You can easily love the worst of people. And God hates self-righteousness. You know why? Because it doesn't lead to your happiness. He doesn't hate you because you're self-righteous or hypocritical. He just hates it because then he can't get his love to you. He's saying, dear... what's your name?
Tyson.
Tyson?
Yeah.
Dear Tyson, sinner, I have good news for you. Now don't read it if you're not sinner Tyson, because it's addressed to you. But everybody that's addressed to is a sinner. Now that you're a saint, now it says, dear Saint Tyson. Why? Because you took it. You opened it up, and the first thing it said was, dear saint. You opened that up. You took it. You took it. Now it says, dear saint. How did that happen? That was so quick. Because you're mine. Now you're in the family. Wow, I'm in the family. How did I? Wow, that's good. What do I get? Everything. Whoa, that's all in the letter. All goes to you. I tell you, this is too good.
Amen.
Too good. All right. Love you all.
Amen.